I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And we have the podcast Office Ladies. Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories and lots of laughs.
Follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome into Vern's post-game show.
Went to his left, picks it up, spins, jumps, throws to first. In time, he got him. Wow.
Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
All right, listen. Let me preface this entire show by stating this. Anyone that has listened to this program over the past decade knows that I'm a romantic. On and off the field. But when it comes to baseball, I love everything about it. The history, what the future could hold, all the pomp and circumstance that goes along with opening day. I consider myself a lover of the game. And anyone that loves the game of baseball, that truly understands the game of baseball, anyone that calls themselves, in my opinion, anyone that calls themselves a romantic when it comes to baseball, that person, without question, knows. And I know a lot of you are aware that this is just one game of 162. I know that. You know that. Everyone out here at Kauffman Stadium listening right now knows that, all right? But ladies and gentlemen, I'm not happy. Not happy whatsoever, but I don't want to do that. I don't want to start the show by yelling, screaming. I don't want to start the season yelling, screaming. So let me open up the phone lines and hopefully get you involved ASAP. The phone number, the text line number, it hasn't changed. I hope it's saved in your phone by now because, baby, we got a long summer. Phone lines are open, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. It's not that they lost. The loss isn't... I don't think the loss is the reason why I'm displeased. And I really don't have an issue with the pitching. Well, that's not true. A horrible pitch selection to Royce Lewis there in the first inning. This guy's been eating fastballs for almost a year now. Especially when you look at how he closed 2023. This dude demolished fastballs, much like he did that 0-2 offering from Cole Reagan to the first inning. Okay, so that's my only issue, but I'm certainly not going to sit here and focus my ire on Cole Reagan's. No, not at all, nor am I going to point at Salvador Perez for that pitch call in the first inning. I mean, unless you guys want to talk about opening day, if you want to go down the romantic route, you know I'm here for you. If you took your son or daughter to their first opening day, I'd love to hear those stories. If you had an interaction with a player, a front office personnel, someone that made your day, I'd love to hear those stories. I really could use, believe it or not, one game into the season, I could use you guys to pick me up because that second inning, I've been in a foul mood since that second inning. So again, if you have a story or a memory that was made today that's going to last a lifetime, please dial me up. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. We're going to be doing it for 161 more nights after tonight. But yeah, the reason why I'm so disappointed, dejected, and yeah, ticked off is because that offense... I've called this season the deep end. I mentioned it on Fesco. I brought it up earlier today on Cody and Gold. And if you were listening to the On Deck show, you heard my explanation as to why this 2024 campaign will be known as the deep end. And that's because everything that these young hitters could have asked for has been done. I sat right here after Game 162 last season, imploring John Sherman and J.J. Piccolo and the rest of this organization, please do not allow Bobby And Mike Cal, don't allow Vinny and Freddie, Massey and MJ, don't allow them to become losers. Don't do to them what you did to Merrifield and Lopez and Dozier and Keller and Mondesi. Have them so beaten down that they show up to the ballpark understanding, accepting, and expecting to lose. Don't do that to them. And they did just that. They avoided these guys becoming losers. The aggressiveness of John Sherman to go the extra mile, to bring in not just Lugo and Renfro and a new bullpen, but to spend an additional $10, $15 million to bring in Michael Wacha. Not trading away a piece to bring in Michael Wacha, just paying him and bringing him to town. You signed Bobby long-term. He now knows he's going to be here. 19 guys that were on the opening day roster last year, kicked to the curb. The coaching staff hands the ball to Cole Reagans. We're not going to be timid. We're not nervous of the expectation. We're not sidestepping anyone. You're our guy. Go stare down their guy. Alec Marsh, you earned the spot in the rotation. So from ownership to the front office to the coaching staff, everything, in my opinion, has been done to put these young hitters in a position to succeed. Now it's on them. It's on them for the first 6 weeks of the season to beat some of the best teams in baseball. 8 of the first 12 series this season are against playoff teams from a year ago. They have new veteran bats and gloves that have been to the postseason, that have been to All-Star games to show them the ropes. A revamped bullpen, top to bottom. 3 new members of the rotation. A coaching staff, a front office, and an ownership group that's been aggressive. It's now on these hitters, and what did we see in Game 1? 0-for-6 with runners in scoring position. The Royals had the leadoff hitter on 3 times. They don't score them once. Minnesota has the leadoff man on 3 times. And they come around to score twice. Royals had 3 innings in which they saw fewer than 10 pitches. Twins didn't have a single frame like that. Royals had 4 innings in which only 3 batters came to the dish. Minnesota had half that. Look, I don't want to talk about Pablo Lopez. I don't want to hear about how good Minnesota's bullpen is if we're not going to point out 2023 and act as if it has any carryover to 2024. I'm not genuflecting to anyone. Get the job done. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. Second inning, leadoff double from MJ Melendez. Hunter Renfro and Adam Frazier, you know why you were brought here. Execute in that spot. Get them to third and get that run home. Let's take that lead back. They're unable to do it. And here we are, 0-1 on the season with 161 to play. Phone lines are open for you. 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. 7610. We're going to start off in Blue Springs. Cody, you are our Michael Garcia for 2024. Can you hit a home run like he did as the leadoff hitter? Go ahead.
Well, I don't know if I'll hit a home run. I mean, I want to be kind of positive, but I was a little bit more bullish on their free agent acquisitions this offseason. Just 2 years ago, I mean, Lugo and Wacha, I mean, they were kind of in the same boat as Lyles. They were kind of and the same price range. And, I mean, yeah, they could be good this year, but there's also a chance they could be very bad. And Renfro, I mean, he was released at the end of the year. I mean, but there's I mean, obviously a floor, but there's also a ceiling that could go down. But what kind of bothered me today was when they brought in Stratton, I knew something bad was going to happen because he got hammered all spring. Why don't you bring in MacArthur, who was nails last year at the end of the year in spring? When you have a
instead of a 3-run loss, it's a 1-run loss. This wasn't a Chris Stratton game.
Yeah, I mean, but Bobby got on. I mean, if Bobby on first in a 1-run game, I mean, there's more chances that they could tie to win the game if you don't put Chris Stratton in there. They got bombed during spring. I mean, you put MacArthur in, there's a good chance that he could have held them, and the Royals could have tied it, possibly won it. I mean, that's just – I'm not going to say Quintero is already messing up, but, I mean, I wouldn't have done it. But that's just where I'm at.
Sure. Well, that's a fair point. With an off day tomorrow, it's not as if you would have burned MacArthur for the rest of the series. Cody, appreciate the phone call. Let's go to Brody in Platte City. Brody, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the boys drop the opener 4-1 to the Twins. Brody, we'll get to you in a moment, but first I want to head out to Lawrence and talk to Ethan. Ethan, you're next up. Go ahead.
Hi, I'm a student at KU, and I came up to opening day today, and I skipped class, and I got a good story, a positive. I heard a guy when I was walking in talking about how this opening day feels a lot better, and the fans are ready to go. I was kind of disappointed in our fans today, though, but I really do think
how so?
That our
why were you disappointed in the fans?
I really think that we need to be a lot louder and show more love to our new acquisitions, because we got these guys, and all of these off-season grades have given us B-pluses, A-minuses, and I was kind of disappointed that we weren't cheering on our new guys, but I do believe that if we do struggle like halfway through the year, we can use these guys as trade pieces to move on to something better. I know we need to put a lot more effort into our young guys because they're the future of our program, but I was kind of disappointed in that. But I really do believe in all these new acquisitions, and I'm not scared for this year. I really do think we're going to make a wild card playoff push, but I don't know. As fans, I think we need to do better to support our guys.
Yeah. All right. Well, you're kind of all over the place. You believe they're going to be a wild card team, and yet you're kind of lining up the trade pieces already. I couldn't disagree with you more as far as the fans need to cheer on our guys more. They were making a ton of noise, and then the offense stopped producing. Again, 2015 was a long time ago. I'm not telling Royals fans that turned out nearly 39,000. I'm not telling Royals fans what to do. They've watched way too much bad baseball to just grind through 26 straight outs. I mean, that's what happened. You get a leadoff home run from Michael Garcia, and then no one touches third? That's not on the fans. It's, well, okay. Cody makes a fine point. I'm not going to fall on the sword for Chris Stratton after one game, but I don't know if it's wise to leave spring saying, well, we can't trust this dude, we can't trust this dude. I mean, you were losing. You're down 2-1. Okay, it's not as if you brought in Jordan Lyles. Guys, the culprit is the offense. To me, that's really end of discussion. I don't think there's much blame to lay at the feet of anyone outside of those nine men in the lineup. That it's on them for these first 6 weeks. Because I'm not saying you're going to get six innings of two-run ball with nine punchies every night from your starter. Cole Reagans was good, very good. Not as good as Pablo Lopez, but he was good. And I think more nights than not, your starting pitcher is going to give you a chance. Lugo on Saturday, Singer on Sunday, Waka Monday in Baltimore. I think they'll all give you a chance to win. I think the bullpen will give you a chance to win. But the offense needs to go out there and do it. You got to stare down Joe Ryan. You're going to have to beat Corbin Burns. Okay, here was my request for the first 6 weeks. I'm not looking for this team to rattle off a 20-10 start. Shoot, I'm not even asking them to be above 500 when we get to the end of May. Just don't drown. But talk about the deep end. You've been properly prepared to swim and survive. Just don't drown. That's all I'm asking this offense. Don't drown. We're still afloat, but it's only one game. I would hope so. Let's go to Daniel in Blue Springs. Daniel, you're on 610 Sports Radio as the Royals drop the opener 4-1 to the Twins. Go ahead.
What's up, Vern? Yeah, man, I agree with you on multiple areas, right? Like, you can't ask much more of what Riggins did today. The dude was pitching great. Pitch count got a little high in the first couple innings, which had me worried. But he evened it out and pitched a great game. It's on the offense. Like, one thing I noticed, and I went to the game today, one thing I noticed is, like, Bobby Witt, that dude got up and was like, swinging for the fences. He didn't take a lot of pitches, it seemed like, in his first two at-bats. So, and I noticed that, like you said earlier, like on your kind of like your post-game analysis that you had, like the Royals were just continuing to not see pitches. Two innings, I think you said two or three innings with only 10 pitches or 10 or 11 pitches. Like, you're just asking their starter to go deep in the game when you're doing that. But the positive thing is today, this is my first opening day. I went with my buddy and his son, and I took my son. I picked him up from school and surprised him and took him to the game. And we had an awesome time. But I will give a shout-out to the Royals, man, because they in like certain areas of the stadium, they now have affordable food. So, like, it's like $5 and under for hot dogs, for drinks and all this. And me and my son ate pretty good for, like, $20. So, I mean, I appreciate them doing that because I know it sounds kind of fat of me, but legitimately, you know, when you go to the ballpark, spending a good amount of money. Right. I'm just thankful that they're starting to do affordable concessions. But I'll listen off the air. Thanks, man.
That's nice to hear. Appreciate you bringing that up. I would have been unaware. Thank you very much, Daniel. To your point about Cole Reagans, and this is something I mentioned earlier today on Fesco in the Morning. A lot of people, not just in Kansas City, but a lot of baseball people excited for Cole Reagans, and deservedly so. One of the three best lefties over the final 2 months of the season last year. Five pitches, a fastball that hits triple digits. The dude has it all. Heart, guts, great mentality. Yeah, he's got it all. And I warned everyone earlier today that every star.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Reagans cannot be a referendum on whether or not he's a true ace. And I stand by that. Right? We're going to see him again coming up next week in Baltimore. That's a difficult lineup. Might be going head-to-head with Corbin Burns, who might be the best right-hander in all of Major League Baseball. But, to me, an ace, well, first of all, what an ace does is year after year after year delivers, you know, makes 25, 30 starts year after year after year. That's an ace. And there's no way Cole Reagans can do all of that after one start. So I understand all of that. But when I think of an ace, you know what I think of? I think of a guy that you go up to and say, hey, whatever he does, the opposing pitcher, I need you to do him one better. If he throws six innings of two-run baseball, I need you to throw seven innings of one-run baseball. That's what Pablo Lopez did today. Pablo Lopez is an ace. Cole Reagans will get another opportunity to stare down a horse next week, more than likely, in Baltimore. My game notes following this 4-1 loss to the Twins, brought to you by Jay's Southland Tow Service. Be in the know and call Jay's Southland Tow. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. Again, that's 913-586-7610. What you think of those jerseys? Man, they had such nice, normal jerseys in spring training. Show up to the first big league game. It looks like they have pajamas on. The small letters, man. I thought the Royals were avoiding that. I thought they were the one team that was going to have normal letters, man. Matt Cotrero's uniform looked like pajamas. Let's go to Chad, who's driving on 35. Chad, what's going on, bud?
Vern, thanks for the time. I got nothing other than the fact that I'm in the car with the wife and two boys, and it's just good to hear your voice again, my man. I got a couple other buddies also making our way back to Overland Park. We're going to get together tonight and just celebrate opening day. What a great day, and we're excited, buddy, and we look forward to hearing you again some more still. Thanks, buddy.
Thanks, man. Yeah, thank you. Drive safe. And my best to the family. What a guy. That's hopefully you guys got some nice pictures. That's what it's about, no doubt. And that's what I'm in desperate need of from you guys is bring the romantic out of me. Because right now the critic is dominating. 913-586-7610. Yeah, Seth Lugo and Joe Ryan square off Saturday afternoon. I'll be on the air with the On Deck Show starting at 2 o'clock. We'll take a quick time out. Get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball in Kansas City, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app.
And a hanger is belted deep left field. Castro to the warning track, to the wall, and gone.
What a way to start the season. Michael Garcia, third pitch of the game, takes a 1-1 hanger over the left field wall. His first home run since last July. And it's the second leadoff home run on opening day in Royals history, the first since 1984. That home run by Michael Garcia in the first tied the game up at one. That's about as good as it would get, as Minnesota would push another across after a leadoff single from the nine hitter is rewarded thanks to Carlos Correa. And if we're being honest, now, ifs and buts, I understand. That Correa double where Royce Lewis pulled up lame rounding second, he should have scored. Royals should have been down 3-1 after three. They're fortunate to be down only one after three. Or excuse me, should have been down two after the third inning, instead down 2-1. Two more runs would come across to score in the ninth, and that's how we arrive at our final score. Minnesota 4, Royals 1. Phone lines are open for you, 913-586-7610. That's 913-586-7610. Let's go to Justine in Gladstone. You're on 610 Sports Radio. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. We're just driving home from the game. This is our, I don't know, many, many years of opening day. I'm nice. Grateful for the weather. The yes. best weather we've had in, I don't know, 2017 might have been the best time that we had this weather. But it kind of, the energy, there was tons of people, and that was fantastic to see, park packed. But it felt kind of a little bit like hooking up with an ex when you're kind of wondering if it's going to be worth it or not. And leaving a little disappointed afterwards.
That's really good.
Kind of how I was feeling after that. There was a lot of people there, but the energy was just kind of lacking from the crowd and the fan base, and kind of like, is it going to be worth it or not? And so see how the rest of the season turns out. But that's where we're kind of sitting after opening day, is it worth it? Have a great day, and I'll listen on the radio.
Yeah, you do the same, Justine. I think you said it better than I could have, as I continue to belch out my frustration. That is a perfect description of the near 39,000, at least the ones wearing royal blue. Is this going to be worth it? I'm fired up. I love Bobby. I love Salvi. I'm impressed by Cole Reagans. But we want winners. Right. That's the talk from the clubhouse all spring. Winning. Focused on winning. Last September, I talked to Nick Lofton. James MacArthur, guys that when they returned to the clubhouse late last season, they were blown away at the fight from the team last year. The fact that they were staring down the barrel of a 100-loss campaign, and yet they walked through the door expecting to win last season. And many people point to Salvi and Bobby as the two that led that charge, maintained that optimism, and retained that focus on winning. So you bring in an Adam Frazier, a Hunter Renfroe, guys that have bounced around from successful clubhouse to successful organization. Revamp bullpen, stability for the rotation, and again, everything was set up for these young hitters, right? Maybe relieve some of the pressure. No longer does Bobby and MJ feel as if, hey, we got to score six or seven runs or else we have no chance. That was the thought last year. And we could just list off the starting pitchers. I mean, if it wasn't Cole Reagans in the second half of the season, you're pulling up to the K thinking, if we can scratch across five, certainly if we scratch across six, we're going to have a chance. But you got to imagine some of that pressure's been alleviated from these hitters. Because Cole Reagans, Seth Lugo, Michael Wacha, Brady Singer, driving to the ballpark now, if we can score four, that should be good enough to win. I think four would have been enough to win today. Shoot, you score that run in the second inning. Who knows what this game looks like? A leadoff double from MJ Melendez and he doesn't move? That's what killed you last year, was your inability to do the little things, to execute properly at the dish, to get the job done. Let the scoreboard dictate your approach at the dish. Winning was the focus throughout spring. Not I hope, not I think. We're going to win. Now, of course, there's some uncertainty behind that. When they lay their head on the pillow at night, Bobby doesn't know that they're going to win. He hopes. He says we're going to, but there's certainly doubts for these young Royals that haven't won before. But they're saying the right things, and they finally have the backing of ownership, the front office, veterans in the clubhouse. It truly is 26 guys tugging on the same end of the rope. So if they're talking about winning, why can't we expect it? We did the whole, you're a plucky high school team last year. We did the evaluation thing last year. This season's about winning, guys, right? We're going to hold them to that standard that they have asked us to hold them to. So if we're going to hold them to that standard, we can't be massaging their shoulders on the postgame show. So in no way do I want to hear what I heard earlier. Oh, the fans weren't loud enough. The fans weren't making enough noise. No, Justine just hit it on the head. We showed up 39,000 strong, even though 95% of our life experience tells us we're going to be disappointed. 13, 14, 15 at times feel like a fever dream to us. So I understand the, is this going to be worth it mindset of Royals fans. Don't drown. You've been thrown into the deep end. Please, Royals, don't drown. They've done everything for these young hitters to put you in a position to survive. 6 weeks thrown into the deep end. I just need you to survive. Not asking for a lot. 913-586-7610. We got 161 more. I know that. You know that. But the expectations have changed. The standard has changed. Let's go to Tim in Kansas City. Tim, you're on the postgame show as the boys lose 4-1.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having us. Some positivity. So my dad and I, this is our 28th opening day together. It's my birthday today.
Wow.
So,
happy birthday.
Had a great time. Yeah, thank you. 39,000 fans. Spectacular. Everybody was having a great time. Of course, you commented on the 162 games in a year. I think we're being very reactive to a one-game scenario where the Royals' offense was not great. Reagans looked spectacular. But my main question for you was, what happened with Salvador on that hit-by-pitch? If you have any comments on that, is that a dead ball?
It didn't hit him.
Radio, but go Royals. So.
Yeah, that did not hit Julian. No, that was ball four. And it got by Salvador Perez. It ends up going down as a wild pitch. Salvi thought it hit the batter. It did not, so that's a live ball. That's why we see Kirilloff come in to score the third run. We see Buxton move up to third. He's eventually plated on by Carlos Correa, who, listen, I love it. I love Boo Cano. I love Boo and Altuve and Correa. But it's not working. The Boo and Carlos Correa, you can make a case he single-handedly beat you today. He drove in two. You scored one. when you had a chance to score in the second inning, he made a pretty nice defensive play on Hunter Renfroe, made a couple of pretty nice defensive plays on Hunter Renfroe. I don't think you're poking the bear. I think he shows up a bear most days, but the booing isn't working on Carlos Correa. Keep it up if you want. Dude was on base four times today. Royals, as a team, reach base six times. Let's go to Brian in Kansas City. Brian, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, buddy.
Appreciate it, man. Just glad to hear you back on 610. Appreciate it. In terms of Cole Reagans, dude, I think that he was slamming the first pitch strikes. That was huge, just getting ahead of hitters. I think that it's going to be a great season. In terms of the offense getting going, I think it's going to be a slow start. I'm going to be honest. But in terms of Bobby wanting to get things going, Vinny wanting to get things going, I think they're doing the right things, man. I'm excited to see the things going. I'll listen offline, but just wanted to kind of pitch in. I think I'm excited about Cole Reagans, and I'm excited about the offense getting going. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I hope you're right. Cole Reagans' first pitch strike to 20 of the 26 batters that he faced. Yeah, I got nothing. Certainly, I don't want to say anything negative about Cole Reagans. There's nothing to say negative. Again, it just depends on where you're coming from, who I'm talking to as far as how you view Cole Reagans, what you expect from Cole Reagans. But six innings of two-run baseball, I'll take it every single time. Give me 30 of those, and I'll be a very happy man. Now, as far as it's going to take the offense a while, I'm not giving them that. They have been giving that to themselves for way too often around here. I'm not buying into that garbage. Oh, well, you can't hit home runs at Kauffman Stadium. The other team seem to. Oh, well, nobody scores in April at Kauffman Stadium. The other team seems to score one more than you do. I'm not giving them these tired outs. So, do I believe in the offense? I don't know. No, until they show me that I should believe in them. I mean, it's been 4, maybe 5 weeks now that whenever I can get on a show on 610 Sports Radio, I'm telling them it comes down to these young bats early on in the season. Fesco brought up a point earlier today, but you know, last year they lose 106. But you're only bringing back seven guys that were on the opening day roster last year. So what does 56 wins last year have? It has no bearing on this year. And while at its core, yeah, it's a correct point, the season still boils down to guys that were on the opening day roster last year. Brady Singer, Bobby Witt, Vinny Pasquantino, MJ Melendez, Kyle Isbell. For as much change that we saw this offseason, I mean, the top five in the lineup really hasn't changed since the end of last season. The pitching is going to, in my opinion, give you a chance to win most nights. We haven't been able to say that since 2016. 8 years, in my opinion. It's been 8 years since you had a rotation that more times than not is going to keep you in the game. It's been a long time that you've had a rotation that I believe is going to allow the bullpen to remain rested so they can remain quality. It's on the offense. I can't tell you how many times this offseason J.J. Piccolo bemoaned the 2023 team's inability to move a runner over. To drive in that man in scoring position with two outs. Twins did it today. Those fever dream years of 14 and 15, those teams did it. And that's what this team's got to do. And they got to do it starting on Saturday. You got to do it against good pitching. Well, Cole Reagans can be a very good pitcher, but more times than not, he's going to be squaring off with a equally very good pitcher, if not an even better pitcher. So somebody's got to step up and do something extra. Who's it going to be? 913-586-7610. Let's go to Ethan in Lawrence. Ethan, you're on the postgame show as the Royals drop the opener 4-1.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I agree with all your points that the offense is really disappointing this year. I watched spring training pretty hard this year, and I'm a pretty good stat guru, and I believe that we should have had Prado in our lineup for this year, but I think I like him a lot more than Velasquez. I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, if you were dialed into spring training, I understand why you feel that way. Thank you very much for the phone call. The reason why Nelson Velasquez found himself in the lineup today and not Nick Prado is because when given the opportunity at the big league level last season, Nelson Velasquez flourished while Nick Prado floundered. And for as terrific as he was in spring training, I got to be honest with you, I agree with the Royals' thinking on this. Give me the guy that has gotten it done at the highest level. It did so for a pretty large chunk of that second half. Yeah, give me that guy. Now, if he flounders over the first few weeks here, hey, get rid of him. Bring Prado up. But I honestly agreed with Nelson Velasquez being in the lineup. But Prado will have a chance to get back. He's going to have to earn it. The spot's going to have to open up. And yeah, maybe it is Nelson Velasquez, the one that ultimately makes way for the former first-round pick, Nick Prado. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Brody in Platte City. Brody, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Just a couple quick thoughts about the hitting. First off, I love Salvi to death. He's a Royals legend, but today he was terrible. He had at least two terrible swings at the plate in the dirt, especially in the ninth. They were trying to make a run, and he just is hacking and hacking. If he doesn't get to a point where he can take pitches, it's not going to be a good year for him. As he gets older, he's got to learn to take some of those pitches. One good thing, though, is that Garcia hit the ball hard every at-bat. That line drive he had in the eighth, I thought it was going to get down and we were going to tie. But overall, you're right. This is on the hitters, and I'm with you. We don't have much time for them to mess around and get going. We need them to start hitting now, as we invested a lot of money into the pitching this offseason to make us a competitive team. Thanks, Vern.
Appreciate the phone call. Salvi took Salvi saw a total of 13 pitches today, took one. But that's Salvi, I feel, right? That he's now 33. He can change, but he's going to chase those sliders, those sweepers away. He's been doing it since we were first introduced to him 12, 13 years ago. To your point about Michael Garcia, first of all, Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star, before the game started, said, Vern, who do you think is going to hit the first home run this season for the Royals? I said, Salvi. He said, I'm going to throw you for a loop. Michael Garcia, first AB, he's going to go bridge over the left field wall. that was shocking. So, first of all, credit to Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. Secondly, I was asked earlier today by Cody and Gold, hey, do you think Michael's got a little bit more power in there? And I said, yeah, more of a gap-to-gap guy. The OPS needs to pick up without question. Just a lot of singles down the stretch last season. And then what do you know? Third pitch of the game, and he's going deep and now leads the team in home runs. There is a part of me, and maybe this is just because I'm in a bad place today, but there is a part of me that's wondering, a home run in the first at-bat, is this a good thing? Is this a Willie Mays Hayes thing that we're looking at now with Michael Garcia? Because you're right, he did hit the ball hard, and he has hit the ball hard. But that second at-bat, he took a few hacks where he was looking for home run number two. I think he's a smart enough baseball player. I know he's a heady young man and a quality hitter. I think he'll rein it in. I'm not concerned. But I got to be honest, that was a thought that popped into my mind was, I always remember Ryan Lefevre bringing up Whit Merrifield. Had a big home run year, and then the following year tried to bulk up and really become a home run hitter, and it backfired. Mike Hale spent the entire spring telling me, up the middle the other way, gap to gap, that's what I'm looking to do this season. He belts the first home run of the season, the first AB of the season, and I'm hoping that's not going to change the approach. I don't think it will, but I'm always forthright with you guys and letting you know the goofy things that pop into my mind, whether you want to know it or not. Royals lose 4-1. Let's go to Scott in Kansas City. Scott, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, long-time listener. I started talking to you like in 2014, 15. I think you do an amazing job.
Thanks, man.
Huge Royals fan. I do see a lot of promise. Not a lot of negativity. Now, we do need – I'm not being half glass empty or full guy, but the young hitters really do need to step it up. They've not been producing at any point. And honestly, if you want to be a young team that produces, your number 2 and 5 hitters, especially, think about the Yankees and like the Twins at a certain point. They had like Jeter and Knobloch in the two spots, and they were perfect situational hitters. Then at 5, you had another guy that after the guy that was the masher was another situational hitter that could also load up your lineup and keep the line moving. I think our starting pitching is fine. I like that not everyone's throwing in the mid-80s, that we got guys who can throw it over the plate with heat. I will get off the air. Let me know what you think.
I think it's a great point, Scott. And, yeah, you're right. You bring up that Yankees team, and people sleep on Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill and Tino Martinez. Boy, what a team. Now, I can't look at – Vinny had profiles – as that type of well-rounded dual threat, beat you average-wise, could beat you slugging-wise. But you're bringing up the 98-99 Yankees. Case can be made that's one of the 5 greatest teams of all time. But Scott, your point is correct. The only way this lineup, in my opinion, is going to be successful is if they do what they preached all spring, which is let the scoreboard dictate your approach. I don't need to hit the home run. What I need to do is advance the runner and hand it off to the guy behind me. It's been an issue for this organization for years because a lot of them don't trust the guy behind them. And that's understandable. Because the guy behind him's hitting .199. The guy behind him hasn't really done much in the game. I've said it for the past month and a half. It does. The way and the clarity in which these Royals have voiced their goals and the avenue in which they're going to travel to achieve those goals. It's been impressive. It's almost been in unison. And that's what you want. You want guys all pulling on the same end of the rope, speaking the same language, focused on the same thing. That's what buoys my spirits after this performance today, is the fact that you have Salvi and Bobby. You know those two are not going to be dejected. You know when they walk into the clubhouse coming up on Saturday, they're going to be smiling and expecting to win. So is Adam Frazier. So is Kyle Isbell. So is Michael Garcia. I don't worry about those guys. Mentality-wise, optimism-wise. But if we don't see an improved performance this weekend in Baltimore, well, then I don't care who they are. I've seen Salvi grip the bat too tight in April. I've watched Bobby do it each of the past 2 seasons. If things don't look different in these final 2 games or in Baltimore, certainly against the White Sox, well then they might start drowning. And the deep end might be a little bit too much. We're still a ways away from sending out a distress signal that our boys in blue are drowning in this, the deep end of 2024. Quick timeout. We get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Vern's Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Follow Fesco in the Morning on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
4-1, the final score. Cole Ragans takes the loss despite six innings of two-run baseball, nine strikeouts, three walks. He's outdone by Pablo Lopez. Seven innings of one-run baseball for the Minnesota Twins ace. Let's head inside the Royals clubhouse. Hear what Bobby Witt Jr. had to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
What'd you like from Ragans?
It's incredible every time he goes out. It's like people say, oh, he's down, look up, 10 strikeouts. So it's just, he's the ace, like I said, like we were talking about, but it was a lot of fun to watch.
You guys didn't have a lot of opportunities, but the ones where you got a couple guys on earlier, at least one, you know, MJ was on early. How important is it for you guys to take advantage of those, especially early in the season, to kind of get a little confidence?
Yeah, definitely. Anytime you score runs, that gives you confidence. So that's definitely what we're going after. And so just kind of we learn from today, move on, have an off day tomorrow, and we're back at it Saturday.
How was this opening day compared to others for you?
The weather was a lot better, but yeah, it was just the fans, electric. It was amazing seeing all those fans out there. We didn't pull off the win for them, but I know that just kind of gives you a sense of urgency. We want to get back winning because of just that eruption of the crowd noise and everything. It's a lot of fun just to see that and just be part of that. So definitely get back to work.
All right, so that's the best player on the Royals, Bobby Witt Jr., 1-for-3 today with a two-out double in the third, a leadoff walk in the ninth inning. A pair of punch-outs mixed in there as well. The best player on the Minnesota Twins, case can be made, is Royce Lewis, a former number one overall pick. He left in the third inning with what the team's calling a quad injury. That could have gigantic ramifications on the American League Central. My heart breaks for that dude. He went through back-to-back ACL tears. First game, hits a home run, then he's single, then he's coming around to score and pulls up lame. Tough to see. Never want to see that, even if it is a division opponent. How about this from the text line? Vern, how about that Andy Reid with a hold my Lombardi? Yeah, did you guys watch? If you were here, you saw him walk out very nonchalant, holding one of the three Lombardis that he's brought this town. He gets to the mound and, hey, Mark Donovan, hang on to this one. I'll bring you another one next year, but let me throw this pill across the pike to George Brett. Yeah, way to go, Andy Reid. That was a memorable moment and quite the flex from the future Hall of Fame head coach of the Chiefs. After hours with Dusty Likens coming up in about 10 minutes. But first, let's go back to the phone lines. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Josh in Lee's Summit. Josh, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Bern. Growing up, I remember the number three hitter. It's just a memorable spot. Guys are a key of the lineup. They come through every time. And for us, Vinny Pintio, I feel like, is just not the guy. It's not a name that our kids will remember.
I think your call waiting is going off right now. Is that still a thing? It sounds like call waiting. Does anyone remember call waiting? Appreciate the phone call, Josh. Something's going on with your phone. Yeah, I don't know that three hitter that came through. Well, George, okay, maybe if you're talking about George, yeah, he came through, I guess, all the time. Yeah, Vinny today, 0-for-4. Vinny came to the play with Bobby on second, two outs in the third inning, unable to deliver. But now, to me, he's still the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. He is a professional hitter. Now, he is like Massey, like MJ. Like so many of those young hitters that I think are at the center of the deep end. The reason why the offense, in my opinion, is going to dictate whether or not this team drowns or survives and is able to maintain through May is because, in my opinion, when Massey, when Vinny, when MJ, when they put their head on the pillow at night, They can hear that quiet doubt, the doubt that we all have in whatever profession. I think that most of us, those that aren't psychopaths, have that little voice of doubt in our heads. Salvi doesn't have it because Salvi's done everything in the game. He's proven to himself that I belong here, I can excel here, and I can win here. Hunter Renfrow, Adam Frazier, these guys don't have that voice. Now, they can get down on themselves, they can beat themselves up, but they know they belong. They know they can thrive. They know they can have success. In the quiet moments, there's no way Vinny and MJ and Massey and maybe even a Kyle Isbell, Nelson Velasquez, there's no way they know I belong, I can thrive, and I can have success. They can have all the outward confidence that they want. They can have the great personality. They can do this. They can do that. But when push comes to shove, when it's only you in that batter's box and third.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. Join me, Professor Greg Jackson, for History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
To drive in that man in scoring position with two outs. Twins did it today. Those fever dream years of 14 and 15, those teams did it. And that's what this team's got to do. And they got to do it starting on Saturday. You got to do it against good pitching. Well, Cole Reagans can be a very good pitcher, but more times than not, he's going to be squaring off with a equally very good pitcher, if not an even better pitcher. So somebody's got to step up and do something extra. Who's it going to be? 913-586-7610. Let's go to Ethan in Lawrence. Ethan, you're on the postgame show as the Royals drop the opener 4-1.
Yeah, thank you for having me. I agree with all your points that the offense is really disappointing this year. I watched spring training pretty hard this year, and I'm a pretty good stat guru, and I believe that we should have had Prado in our lineup for this year, but I think I like him a lot more than Velasquez. I just wanted to get your opinion on that.
Well, if you were dialed into spring training, I understand why you feel that way. Thank you very much for the phone call. The reason why Nelson Velasquez found himself in the lineup today and not Nick Prado is because when given the opportunity at the big league level last season, Nelson Velasquez flourished while Nick Prado floundered. And for as terrific as he was in spring training, I got to be honest with you, I agree with the Royals' thinking on this. Give me the guy that has gotten it done at the highest level. It did so for a pretty large chunk of that second half. Yeah, give me that guy. Now, if he flounders over the first few weeks here, hey, get rid of him. Bring Prado up. But I agreed with Nelson Velasquez being in the lineup. But Prado will have a chance to get back. He's going to have to earn it. The spot's going to have to open up. And yeah, maybe it is Nelson Velasquez, the one that ultimately makes way for the former first-round pick, Nick Prado. Thanks for the phone call. Let's go to Brody in Platte City. Brody, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern. Just a couple quick thoughts about the hitting. First off, I love Salvi to death. He's a Royals legend, but today he was terrible. He had at least two terrible swings at the plate in the dirt, especially in the ninth. They were trying to make a run, and he just is hacking and hacking. If he doesn't get to a point where he can take pitches, it's not going to be a good year for him. As he gets older, he's got to learn to take some of those pitches. One good thing, though, is that Garcia hit the ball hard every at-bat. That line drive he had in the eighth, I thought it was going to get down and we were going to tie. But overall, you're right. This is on the hitters, and I'm with you. We don't have much time for them to mess around and get going. We need them to start hitting now, as we invested a lot of money into the pitching this offseason to make us a competitive team. Thanks, Vern.
Appreciate the phone call. Salvi saw a total of 13 pitches today, took one. But that's Salvi, I feel, right? That he's now 33. He can change, but he's going to chase those sliders, those sweepers away. He's been doing it since We were first introduced to him 12, 13 years ago. To your point about Mikel Garcia, first of all, Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star, before the game started, said, Vern, who do you think is going to hit the first home run this season for the Royals? I said, Salvi. He said, I'm going to throw you for a loop. Mikel Garcia, first AB, he's going to go bridge over the left field wall. that was shocking. So, first of all, credit to Jalen Thompson of the Kansas City Star. Secondly, I was asked earlier today by Cody and Gold, hey, do you think Mikel's got a little bit more power in there? And I said, yeah, more of a gap-to-gap guy. The OPS needs to pick up without question. Just a lot of singles down the stretch last season. And then what do you know? Third pitch of the game, and he's going deep and now leads the team in home runs. There is a part of me, and maybe this is just because I'm in a bad place today, but there is a part of me that's wondering, a home run in the first at-bat, is this a good thing? Is this a Willie Mays Hayes thing that we're looking at now with Mikel Garcia? Because you're right, he did hit the ball hard, and he has hit the ball hard. But that second at-bat, he took a few hacks where he was looking for home run number two. I think he's a smart enough baseball player. I know he's a heady young man and a quality hitter. I think he'll rein it in. I'm not concerned. But I got to be honest, that was a thought that popped into my mind was, I always remember Ryan Lefevre bringing up Whit Merrifield, had a big home run year, and then the following year tried to bulk up and really become a home run hitter, and it backfired. Mikel spent the entire spring telling me, up the middle the other way, gap to gap, that's what I'm looking to do this season. He belts the first home run of the season, the first AB of the season, and I'm hoping that's not going to change the approach. I don't think it will, but I'm always forthright with you guys and letting you know the goofy things that pop into my mind, whether you want to know it or not. Royals lose 4-1. Let's go to Scott in Kansas City. Scott, you're next up on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Vern, long-time listener. I started talking to you like in 2014, 15. I think you do an amazing job.
Thanks, man.
Huge Royals fan. I do see a lot of promise. Not a lot of negativity. Now, we do need – I'm not being half a glass empty or a full guy, but the young hitters really do need to step it up. They've not been producing at any point. And honestly, if you want to be a young team that produces, your number 2 and 5 hitters, especially, think about the Yankees and like the Twins at a certain point. They had like Jeter and Knobloch in the two spots, and they were perfect situational hitters. Then at 5, you had another guy that after the guy that was the masher was another situational hitter that could also load up your lineup and keep the line moving. I think our starting pitching is fine. I like that not everyone's throwing in the mid-80s, that we got guys who can throw it over the plate with heat. I will get off the air. Let me know what you think.
I think it's a great point, Scott. And yeah, you're right. You bring up that Yankees team, and people sleep on Bernie Williams and Paul O'Neill and Tino Martinez. Boy, what a team. Now, I can't look at Vinny had profiles as that type of well-rounded dual threat, beat you average-wise, could beat you slugging-wise. But you're bringing up the 98-99 Yankees. Case can be made that's one of the 5 greatest teams of all time. But Scott, your point is correct. The only way this lineup, in my opinion, is going to be successful is if they do what they preached all spring, which is let the scoreboard dictate your approach. I don't need to hit the home run. What I need to do is advance the runner and hand it off to the guy behind me. It's been an issue for this organization for years because a lot of them don't trust the guy behind them. And that's understandable. Because the guy behind him's hitting .199. The guy behind him hasn't really done much in the game. I've said it for the past month and a half. It does. The way and the clarity in which these Royals have voiced their goals and the avenue in which they're going to travel to achieve those goals, it's been impressive. It's almost been in unison. And that's what you want. You want guys all pulling on the same end of the rope, speaking the same language, focused on the same thing. That's what buoys my spirits after this performance today, is the fact that you have Salvi and Bobby. You know those two are not going to be dejected. You know when they walk into the clubhouse coming up on Saturday, they're going to be smiling and expecting to win. So is Adam Frazier. So is Kyle Isbell. So is Michael Garcia. I don't worry about those guys. Mentality-wise, optimism-wise. But if we don't see an improved performance this weekend in Baltimore, well, then I don't care who they are. I've seen Salvi grip the bat too tight in April. I've watched Bobby do it each of the past two seasons. If things don't look different in these final two games or in Baltimore, certainly against the White Sox, well then they might start drowning. And the deep end might be a little bit too much. We're still a ways away from sending out a distress signal that our boys in blue are drowning in this, the deep end of 2024. Quick timeout. We'll get back to your thoughts after this.
You're listening to Burns Post Game Show on your home for Royals baseball, 610 Sports Radio, and the Odyssey app. Follow Fesco in the Morning on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Welcome back to Vern's Post Game Show on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Here's Royals insider Josh Vernier.
4-1, the final score. Cole Ragans takes the loss despite six innings of two-run baseball, nine strikeouts, three walks. He's outdone by Pablo Lopez. Seven innings of one-run baseball for the Minnesota Twins ace. Let's head inside the Royals clubhouse. Hear what Bobby Witt Jr. had to say after the game to Bally Sports Kansas City.
What'd you like from Ragans?
It's incredible. Every time he goes out, it's like people say, oh, he's down, look up, 10 strikeouts. So it's just, he's the ace, like I said, like we were talking about, but it was a lot of fun to watch.
Bobby, you guys didn't have a lot of opportunities, but the ones where you got a couple guys on earlier, at least one, MJ was on early. How important is it for you guys to take advantage of those, especially early in the season, to kind of get a little confidence?
Yeah, definitely. Anytime you score runs, that gives you confidence. So that's definitely what we're going after. And so just kind of we learn from today, move on, have an off day tomorrow, and we're back at it Sunday, Saturday.
How was this opening day compared to others for you?
The weather was a lot better, but yeah, it was just the fans, electric. It was amazing seeing all those fans out there. We didn't pull off the win for them, but I know that just kind of gives you a sense of urgency to just, we want to get back winning because of just what that eruption of the crowd noise and everything. It's a lot of fun just to see that and just be part of that, so definitely get back to work.
All right, so that's the best player on the Royals, Bobby Witt Jr., 1-for-3 today with a two-out double in the third, a leadoff walk in the ninth inning. A pair of punch-outs mixed in there as well. The best player on the Minnesota Twins, a case can be made, is Royce Lewis, a former number one overall pick. He left in the third inning with what the team's calling a quad injury. That could have gigantic ramifications on the American League Central. My heart breaks for that dude. He went through back-to-back ACL tears. First game, hits a home run, then he's single, then he's coming around to score and pulls up lame. Tough to see. Never want to see that, even if it is a division opponent. How about this from the text line? Vern, how about that Andy Reid with a hold my Lombardi? Yeah, did you guys watch? If you were here, you saw him walk out very nonchalant, holding one of the three Lombardis that he's brought this town. He gets to the mound and, hey, Mark Donovan, hang on to this one. I'll bring you another one next year, but let me throw this pill across the pike to George Brett. Yeah, way to go, Andy Reid. That was a memorable moment and quite the flex from the future Hall of Fame head coach of the Chiefs. After Hours with Dusty Likens coming up in about 10 minutes. But first, let's go back to the phone lines. 913-586-7610. Let's go to Josh in Lee Summit. Josh, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead.
Hey, Byrne. You know, growing up, I remember the number three hitter. It's just a memorable guys are a key of the lineup. They come through every time. And for us, Vinny Pintio, I feel like, is just not the guy. It's not a people, not a name that our kids will remember.
I think your call waiting is going off right now. Is that still a thing? It sounds like call waiting. Does anyone remember call waiting? Appreciate the phone call, Josh. Something's going on with your phone. Yeah, I don't know that three hitter that came through. Well, George, okay, maybe if you're talking about George, yeah, he came through, I guess, all the time. Yeah, Vinny today, 0 for 4. Vinny came to the play with Bobby on second, two outs in the third inning, unable to deliver. But now, to me, he's still the undeniable Vinny Pasquantino. He is a professional hitter. Now, he is like Massey, like MJ, like so many of those young hitters that I think are at the center of the deep end. The reason why the offense, in my opinion, is going to dictate whether or not this team drowns or survives and is able to maintain through May is because, in my opinion, when Massey, when Vinny, when MJ, when they put their head on the pillow at night, they can hear that quiet doubt. The doubt that we all have in whatever profession. I think that most of us, those that aren't psychopaths, have that little voice of doubt in our heads. Salvi doesn't have it because Salvi's done everything in the game. He's proven to himself that I belong here, I can excel here, and I can win here. Hunter Renfroe, Adam Frazier, these guys don't have that voice. Now, they can get down on themselves. They can beat themselves up, but they know they belong. They know they can thrive. They know they can have success. In the quiet moments, there's no way Vinny and MJ and Massey and maybe even a Kyle Isbell, Nelson Velasquez, there's no way they know I belong, I can thrive, and I can have success. They can have all the outward confidence that they want. They can have the great personality. They can do this. They can do that. But when push comes to shove, when it's only you in that batter's box and 39,000 people waiting for you to make their day, are you able to, you know, quiet and calm the mechanism? Are you able to execute? I think Bobby, by the way, I don't think Bobby hears that doubt. I think that second half of the season quieted that doubt. Let's not forget, Vinny's coming off an injury. Vinny's timing never really looked great in spring training. I'm not worried about Vinny Pasquantino. And if you are, well, then you better brace for another 90-plus losses. Because Vinny must be a constant on this team. Must be a factor for this team. Double J in Kansas City, you're on the postgame show. Go ahead, buddy. Nice to hear from you.
Taking the call. Hey, are you there? Thanks for taking the call.
You got it. Let's hear it. Yes, sir.
I just want to say, got to tip your hat out to Cole Reagan today. He pitched his tail off. Unfortunately, he took the loss. That home run by Michael Garcia was pretty awesome for the first at-bat. And it was a fun day all in all. Beautiful day. Couldn't ask for a better day for baseball for opening day. And I like what our starting pitching could bring this year for us. And I believe this offense will come around. And let's go out Saturday. Let's go Lugo and let's go Sino. Let's try to take TFE from these guys. That'd be huge.
Just win one. That's really all I want. Just win one. I mean, I want them to win them all. Thanks for the phone call, Double J. I want them to win the next 161. You got to win one. That's all I'm going to say. Whether it's Lugo on Saturday or Singer on Sunday, get one. Or else, Monday. Sports talk on Monday. Woo, boy. Sports talk continues with my guy, Dusty Likens. He was out here looking sharp, too, looking like he just came off the links. After Hours with Dusty Likens. Coming your way after this. I'll talk to you on Saturday. Take care. Thanks for listening.
Been listening to Vern's postgame show.
A blast down the right field line. Hooking, stay fair, and gone. Pasquantino.
Check out the All Things Vern channel on 610sports.com and the Odyssey app to stay up to date with your boys in blue.
Deep left center, way back and gone. Another grand slam for Bobby Witt Jr.
On your home of the Royals, 610 Sports Radio. We now take you back to regularly scheduled programming.
Do you have a dark curiosity? Heart Starts Pounding, Horrors, Hauntings, and Mysteries is a weekly podcast hosted by me, Kaylin Moore. Check out Heart Starts Pounding on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.